Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fan?
Okay, week 15 and Thursday night football is in the books. Derek Carr went out. Marcus Mariota turned back the clocks. But the Raiders did their best Charger impersonation. I am Keith Irizarry. You know the fam, Alex Hardy, John Salas. What's up, fellas?
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. How about Las Vegas doing their best to cough up that game? What's going on, John Salas?
Man, back-to-back shows where I'm barely making it in time. I was in Oakland for a little bit after I saw John Gruden with his hat. And then I had to run to Vegas, and then I ran back here just in time. How's it going, fam?
It's good. The hat game for John Gruden. Yes, he wore an Oakland Raiders baseball cap and then had to change it.
First hat.
Yeah, he also ended up having to change his quarterback. So Derek Carr goes out with a groin injury, still waiting to see how bad that was. Marcus Mariota goes for over 200 passing yards, 88 rushing yards. He turned back the clock and looked like he's playing at Oregon again. But I think the story last night was Justin Herbert and his continuing abilities to take over games when he needs to. 314 yards, two touchdowns, and the game-winning running touchdown in overtime.
66 plays on offense. Keenan Allen was there for about 20. He told everybody that he was playing, but turns out he was on a snap count. So Justin Herbert getting it done with guys like Hunter Henry, who scored the touchdown, Jalen Guyton, and Tyrone Johnson. Did I remember his name correctly?
Tyron Johnson.
Exactly. Who are these guys he's throwing to? It doesn't seem to matter. But that being said, against the Vegas Raiders, the Chargers were able to capitalize on first-time defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli, will continue to be an issue for the Raiders. I'm just going to say this about Josh Jacobs, who salvaged his performance with that one-yard TD score. He'd been dealing with the ankle injuries, but now we're concerned about a knee injury. I'll just say this, with Derek Carr out and Marcus Mariota sliding in, the Raiders' defense is still the biggest concern for me when it comes to Josh Jacobs. Are they going to be in enough advantageous game scripts to just run the football with Josh Jacobs? The way that defense has looked the last month, where they've dropped every game except that Hail Mary against the New York Jets, that's a little concerning for me.
You brought up Marcus Mariota, and since we're here, I'm gonna stay on it. Just great podcasting here. So Marcus Mariota puts up 226 passing yards, has one passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and also rushed for 88 yards. They play Miami, so if you are in the finals, and if you really need to push Marcus Mariota out there, because who knows what happens in 2020, are we taking the bait?
I'm not. I like Marcus Mariota. He is a very nice person. He is a winner from the collegiate ranks, and early on in his NFL career looked like he could be something. But you got to remember that the Chargers were prepared for Derek Carr, not for the Mariota style of offense. And that changes the mentality. And that leads me into our number one headline of the week. Drew Brees is officially back. He will play on Sunday. It may be the marquee matchup of the weekend, potentially a Super Bowl kind of teaser for us with the Chiefs and the Saints. Apparently the Saints knew by Monday Drew Brees was going to be starting.
Enough. Just enough with the Chiefs and the Saints Super Bowl teasers. It's another year in a row. You're just letting everyone down. Let's just enjoy this Sunday and let's just move on.
Ram it. Do you know who wants the Rams in the Super Bowl?
We want the Rams and the Patriots again, baby.
All right. Let me just double back to this fast. So what we know is that the Saints apparently have been playing coy all week and knew that Drew Brees was going to be their starter, didn't allow it to get out till a little before 10 a.m. Eastern time on Friday. That forced Tyrann Mathieu and the rest of the Chiefs, as they had said, to prepare for Taysom Hill. Gentlemen, Drew Brees back in the saddle. Expectations for him, and how good is this for some of the other players on New Orleans?
Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Hill can throw the same dump-off passes, but the way that Drew Brees leads his receivers and the fact that Alvin Kamara was more of an emergency dump-off type of guy for Taysom Hill, who's looking to run himself first. So, of course, the return of Brees means that Alvin Kamara is getting 5 to 10 more touches for the next 2 weeks in the Saints offense. So it starts with Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas will see his. And Jared Cook, who had a touchdown last week, is once again our favorite red zone target in the Saints offense.
Alvin Kamara owners, you can breathe now. Drew is back, and he's going to go off. I'm calling at least 20 points in fantasy for Alvin.
All right, let's go through some injuries now. Antonio Gibson with the turf toe looks like he's not going to play. Rojo is on the COVID reserve list. That changes dynamic in Tampa. And even Mike Gesicki is someone you're really paying attention to with that shoulder injury in Miami.
So I'm going to go to Tampa here and tackle the Ronald Jones one. Now, remember last time we spoke, he was dealing with that hand injury. Keith, you mentioned it, but we already expected him. Remember, it's the same procedure Chris Godwin had. We expected him to be out. Now, the COVID thing throws another curveball, but if you hung on to Leonard Fournette, this is your time to shine and throw him in. Yes, LeSean McCoy is there and could be used every now and then, and I have been known to say that it could be 50-50 between them, but I woke up this morning feeling great. Leonard Fournette spoke to me in my dreams, and he's going to look good. They're facing Atlanta. It's their first time facing each other, and yes, the run defense for Atlanta is pretty decent, but I'm going to expect Leonard Fournette to go off here.
Shocking. I dropped Leonard Fournette with a healthy scratch, was lucky enough to pick him back up, and yet I still don't know if he finds his way into my lineup for this week. I suppose with this not being a one-week injury, with COVID keeping Jones off the team for the next couple of weeks, we may be asking Leonard Fournette to take that lion's share for the playoffs, but for the time being, and with LeSean McCoy on that roster, I just don't see enough touches for Leonard Fournette. Can he be productive with 12 to 15 touches as opposed to the 4 or 5 or 0 he received last week? I just don't see it happening. If 10 of his 15 carries are inside the 5, maybe Leonard Fournette finishes with 2 TDs.
3 QB injuries we are monitoring as we speak. Maybe not so much for them being in our lineup, but for the players around them. Matthew Stafford, Alex Smith dealing with the calf issue. Even Daniel Jones with his ankle injury was seen practicing this week. And Alex, you brought it up. This becomes a very different dynamic in New York with the Giants. You talked about this week with me off the air with Jason Garrett testing positive for COVID.
Jason Garrett won't be calling plays for the New York Giants this week. And because the NFL is just poetry, it is a fluid, moving, beautiful visage. Freddie Kitchens now will be calling plays against the Cleveland Browns. Yes, his former team on Sunday Night Football. Because, again, the NFL is a woven tapestry where stories are intertwined. And the only time we'd ever want to see Freddie Kitchens coaching is against his Browns. What does that mean for Daniel Jones? A whole lot of nothing, if we're being completely honest. The Giants offense really doesn't inspire me. I know Devonta Freeman is eligible to come off IR now, but this is still Wayne Gallman's team. The Giants are going to want to run the football. They're going to want to play keep away from the Cleveland Browns all Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night is just a blessing. The NFL just knows ratings, and Freddie Kitchens versus the Browns is ratings. But I'm going to go over to Washington. Alex Smith, his calf issue, hasn't practiced yet all week. Could be a normal procedure, but for guys like Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, who is to toss up the play, and anyone that's a Washington pass catcher or a rusher, if you have to throw Callen Allen out there, yes, you are facing a weak Seattle defense, but I would feel a lot more comfortable facing that weak Seattle defense with an Alex Smith instead of a Kyle Allen.
Last thing that I have on Tuesday, I said I'd hit the snooze button. Mike Gesicki's shoulder injury is concerning, but I'd still rather start him over Lynn Bowden Jr. if I have to pick anyone from the Dolphins.
We are into semifinal weekend of our fantasy playoffs, and in the league that we are all in, Alex is the only one left alive. John, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here, but you're done, right? You're out of all of yours?
Yep, I'm going to close the door, and I'm just going to leave because I'm in the loser's brackets.
All right, well, that's okay because we are a fam, and we want to help each other out. Now, I'm still alive in 3 of my 4 that matter to me as well, and I have some questions in my SiriusXM league. I know Alex has a few questions in our combined league. that we are all in. Let's do a little crowdsourcing here. So, Alex, why don't you go first? What are some of the plays maybe you're deciding amongst? And we'll let me and John kind of help you, but ultimately it'll be your final decision.
My goodness. Well, as we mentioned earlier, feeling a lot better about Alvin Kamara with Drew Brees returning. So essentially, I have two questions. It comes down to how successful we think the Steelers offense can bounce back in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. And then I have a quarterback decision to make. So first of all, is there enough plays in the Steelers offense to have two productive Steelers wide receivers? Now, Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool are both going to be able to eat against Cincinnati. And I'll say first that when they had their first matchup in week 10, Juju Smith-Schuster finished 9 catches, 77 yards and a TD. Chase Claypool, meanwhile, had 4 catches for 56 yards and 2 TDs. So the last time these two teams met, both Juju and Claypool scored over 20 points.
All right, so I am actually really torn here because this is not the same Steelers team we saw in Week 10, and I kind of have a scary feeling Chase Claypool is in the doghouse after having some drop passes. So I'm leaning more on Juju to be the guy and repeat his performance in Week 10. Chase Claypool is, I mean, if you want to gamble with it and flip that coin, then all means knock yourself out. But I think there could be a better option with a better matchup sitting there instead of starting two Steeler wide receivers.
Chase has not scored a receiving touchdown in 3 consecutive weeks. His targets are going down. His catchers are going down. And I hate to say it, but I think that John might be a little bit right on this one, because I believe that Ben Roethlisberger, who's been in this league for, you know, 17, 18 years, is someone that holds a grudge. And when Claypool is not catching every pass he wants or not running the correct route, I think he'll start looking elsewhere. We've seen him throw towards James Washington, surprisingly, a little bit more over the last couple of weeks. I lean to Juju.
Throwing to James Washington has nothing to do with Chase Claypool. It's because Deontay Johnson was benched for a half. So I just see an inferior Bengals defense. I'm just concerned about my additional options. Now the concerns with Antonio Gibson, who's a flex spot for me. I may have a couple starters to replace, but luckily with Taysom Hill on the squad, I'll be able to free up a roster spot. And speaking of Taysom Hill, yesterday I would have asked you Kyler Murray or Taysom Hill. However, with Drew Brees in at starting quarterback, I could start Ryan Tannehill against Detroit. So am I sticking with Kyler Murray against the Eagles, or is it time to go for Tannehill?
All right. I like what Kyler Murray has been doing as of late. He's starting to look like himself again. Last week ran the ball more, was much more efficient as well. I'm intrigued by Ryan Tannehill, and I understand why you're having this debate right now, because Detroit is absolutely terrible against the past, 7th most fantasy points to QBs, giving up about 30 points per game in the real NFL. That's the 4th most in the league. And Tannehill, last week, 2 touchdowns. Week before, 3 touchdowns. My gut tells me that Tannehill is actually the play here, despite the fact that Kyler Murray is the better quarterback.
You know, I'm a big Kyler Murray guy, you know, besides when he's playing the Rams. And I'm going Ryan Tannehill. This guy's too hot, and the matchup's there. Philly, they got some swag, and they got some momentum going into this game after beating the Saints. So I think they're all ready for a Kyler Murray, and I just think Ryan Tannehill and the Titans in that matchup are going to run all over Detroit.
Well, now you've got me something to chew on. I'm between Kyler and Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if you guys talked me off of Chase Claypool, though.
All right, there you go. All right, I have a question for you guys. In my SiriusXM league, I'm starting 4 wide receivers this week, but I've got a bunch on this roster. I've been loaded with wide receivers here. Stephon Diggs, he's a go, yes. Chris Godwin at Atlanta. Robbie Anderson at Green Bay. Got Claypool at Cincinnati. CeeDee Lamb against San Francisco. And then Brandon Cooks at Indianapolis. I need to start 4 of those 6 wide receivers.
I'm sitting Lamb and Cooks.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Oh.
If I'm talking myself into Chase Claypool, I'm doing the same for you, Keith.
Let me see here. Hold on.
Fair enough. I have no problem with that. I all right. So I will tell you this. I was Diggs, Godwin, Anderson. Those were the 3 I kind of already had locked in. I was torn between the bottom 3. If Cooks was fully healthy, I was intrigued by having him in the lineup, but I'm not so sure that he is fully healthy. So I was leaning more Claypool as well. Even though I was just trying to talk you out of Claypool, I'm leaning Claypool in my situation.
It's the Bengals.
I just think CeeDee Lamb's matchup with the Niners doesn't look promising. I don't know.
And he's kind of been phased out of that offense.
And Brandon Cooks did have 5 or 6 catches last time against Indy. So if he is out there, he's going to get the targets. He will get the catches. And let's just hope he gets in the end zone.
All right, so I'm down to between Claypool and Cooks there. There's a little crowdsourcing from the fam. Hey, you can always hit us up on Twitter, by the way. Alex is A_HAHDEE. I am Keith Urizarry. John is J Sally Knows, KNOWS is how you spell knows. You want to ask us for advice or give your input with some of the things we are saying. Let's get to daily fantasy football, some DFS lineups. You know what we do. We call it gold. We call it silver. We call it bronze, and as we always do, I will go first with my gold pick and the gold standard that meets all gold standards. I'm going Lamar Jackson against the Jaguars. Although he's not throwing the ball a lot, just 34 times or 23 completions, he's running again, 218 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns over the last 2 games, and the Jaguars are atrocious against QBs, 4th most points, also terrible against the run. They've allowed 160 rushing yards per contest.
I have Stephon Diggs in against the Denver Broncos. John Brown was hoping to come back, but he's been ruled out for week 15. And I was debating putting Gabriel Davis in the bronze section, but Stephon Diggs is going to get his against the Broncos.
And I'm going to roll with Cam Akers making his gold tier introduction after coming off a 171 rushing yard game last week. He is facing the Jets defense that has allowed the 10th most fantasy points to running backs. I expect Cam Akers to have 100 yards again, and this time he will get in the end zone. Now we're going to go over to the silver tier here. Scary Terry McLaurin with the Washington football team. I mentioned Alex Smith having to be healthy earlier for him to have a good week, but I think it doesn't really matter at quarterback. This guy is wide receiver one. Now, don't be fooled. He's put up 4 fantasy points and 3 fantasy points in the past 2 weeks, but that was against Pitt and San Francisco. Facing that weak Seattle secondary, I expect McLaurin to go off.
David Montgomery seems like a sure thing given his last 3 weeks as a playoff back for you. But looking at his pricing in FanDuel, he's still ranked in the top 10, and there's a huge gap between him and some of the elite running backs. But his opportunity is just too great against the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to go with my silver pick, and this is John's guy from early in the week, Brandon Ayuk versus Dallas. Like this matchup, like what he did this past week in week 14. 16 targets, 10 catches. Talked about that earlier in the week. But how about the last 5 games? 56 targets, 36 catches, 495 yards, and 3 touchdowns. In Dallas, we know they struggle against wide receivers, giving up the 7th most points to them. Then let's go over to the bronze and give me some Russell Gage with Julio Jones not playing again. Gage, double-digit fantasy points, 3 of his last 4 games, over 50 yards and 7 targets in 3 of those 4 games. And Tampa Bay, while they're good defensively, they're not great against wide receivers, the 11th most fantasy points.
This is going to be a huge risk here because of how poorly the Houston Texans have played. But with the injuries to the likes of Brandon Cooks and David Johnson, Jordan Akins has seen a little bit of uptick in production. And I say this knowing full well that the guy hasn't scored a touchdown since week 11. But the fact of the matter is, coming off of 6 targets, he is the first look for Deshaun Watson if his legs decide to stop working. Jordan Akins is a sneaky play here against the Colts because I believe he's going to get a touchdown.
All right, Keith, you love Brandon Ayuk, and it looks like we just love abusing that Dallas secondary because they are horrible against wide receivers. Someone else has to catch the ball, right? It can't just all be Brandon Ayuk. So I'm going to go Kendrick Bourne here, no Debo Samuel, assuming no George Kittle again this week. So he's a nice, easy bronze play.
There are your gold, your silver, and your bronze. Let's go on to our props recap. Last week, we had the Seahawks as the 13.5-point favorites over the Jets. John had the first pick. He whiffed Tyler Lockett. Alex had the second pick. Did all right. DK Metcalf.
I mean, I had to.
I was left with Chris Carson. 17.3 points, and I am your winner this week. We are moving in to week 15. There are 4 double-digit favorites, so I want to have some fun. I want this to have to wait until Monday. Let's go Steelers, 13-point favorites over the Bengals. Bigger reason I picked this is because I think we have no idea which player is going to step up at this one. It's crazy. I love it. And with that,
I'm actually excited I get to pick last.
Yeah, you're going to get a good player. And with that, my first pick is Juju Smith-Schuster. Let me get him. Alex, you're up next.
I mentioned Deontay Johnson was benched for a half. I can't do it to myself again. That'll be John's problem. So give me Chase Claypool. I just can't. John, I can't do it with Deontay. I can't do it anymore.
Deontay or Connor or Ebron.
All right. Well, Keith gets a wide receiver. Alex, you get a wide receiver, and I get a wide receiver. I'm going Deontay Johnson.
All right.
Put him on the board. Let's have some fun with this.
And we will see which wide receiver brings us a victory. Remember, everybody, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcast. Can't believe week 15 is here. Thursday night was fun. I think the weekend is going to be even better. But before we get to the weekend, John, you have to remind everybody out there, what day is it?
Alrighty, it's my favorite day of the week, but also it is the last time we will be coming at you on this day of the week. So ladies and gentlemen, everyone around the U.S. of A and the world, get your vocal cords ready because it is...
It's Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday. It's the last Friday before Christmas, so get your shopping in on this Friday. We gotta win some fantasy football playoffs on weekend and party and
party.
Fun. It's the last Friday of the year.